Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends of Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
Join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Wags of SCI podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Today, we are doing a continuation episode of our last episode, which is all about things that, as a caregiver and a Wag of SCI, things that you wish more people understood. So this is part two. If you haven't listened to part one, please go back and listen to it. It's a great episode. We delve into a lot of issues that you may find frustrating, but there's also a lot of awareness in these episode series that we're going to do. So we're super excited to get into that. Firstly, we'd like to send a big shout out to Robin Wishart of Wishart Brain and Spine Law. As you all know, she's the official legal advocate of the Wags of SCI community, and she has been a huge help to us over the past 4 years, not just with our cases as far as paid spousal caregiving, but letters of support for our partner, advocating. She has a huge amount of resources all over North America. So if you need any support as far as looking into your benefits or trying to find resources in your area, Robin is your number one gal. So please visit wagsfesti.com and click on the legal resources tab at the top of our website to learn more about our partnership. And then you can also visit brainandspinelaw.com to learn more about Robin and her team directly and how she can help you. So, part two, let's get into it right away. We want to make these episodes as concise as possible. We also want to voice our views around these subjects because it's really important to just not only have different views, but that's the whole purpose of this group, is to learn from one another. So it's really cool for us as, you know, the founders of this group to get all of these insights. So let's start off with our first one. And obviously, same as last week, we're going to keep it very neutral and anonymous, just to protect the integrity of the group, because as you all know, this is a private discussion group. However, this is a really good way to get out some of the information from all of these women into the public. It's really important. So the first comment we have here: my number one hardship isn't the physical support that I provide for my partner. It's having to deal with insurance companies, medical providers, billing, and endless paperwork. Don't we know it?
Definitely. And somebody underneath it says this is nearly a full-time job sometimes. And then other people will argue and say, well, your partner can still think and they have the capacity to use a computer to fill out paperwork.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. But sometimes it's like you both have to double team the one, whatever the insurance companies are, or the whatever the paperwork is. Like this morning, Dan and I had a discussion over looking in to see if Pacific Blue Cross, his medical insurance covers a caregiver. So the wait time for to finally speak to somebody can be an hour. Meanwhile, we're trying to contact the caregiving agency. So then the other person's on one line, the other person's on the other line. So these processes can take a really long time, and you kind of have to put all of the effort, and every single minute matters. So then you both end up doing both things. As anybody knows, you go around in circles. So of course, the Pacific Blue Cross, his insurance company, through being a student, the private insurance that he pays for, says, well, you need to contact Student Aid and ask them all these questions. And he says, well, Student Aid keeps on telling me to contact you guys, the actual company. And then it goes back and forth. So you actually end up spending so much time and getting no answers, right?
Yeah. And I will add to that, in our personal experience, that I always talk about this, but I want to reinforce it. Capacity, nervous system capacity, the ability to actually do these things without getting overwhelmed. So because dealing with insurance is so frustrating, and because you have to wait so long, and because there are so many different personalities you have to deal with, and the system is just so frustrating, that our partners sometimes don't have the capacity to deal with this, especially in the first few years of the injury. I remember the first 4 years of my partner's injury. I was the one that dealt with everything. I dealt with workers' compensation. I dealt with private insurance. I dealt with everything because he literally was unable to focus on anything but his recovery. His nervous system had had a huge traumatic injury, right? Not only physical, but mental, emotional healing that had to happen. And when you pile on all of the other stuff, not to mention the hours of the day that these people are available, right? They're only available a few hours during the morning usually. And then they're, you know, East Coast time, West Coast time, overseas time. They don't get back to you right away. And that interferes with a lot of the rehab these guys have to do and a lot of the rest that these guys have to take. And so sometimes it's just too much. Like I remember my partner did as part of his insurance, he had to do a psychological assessment. It was like a freaking 3-hour interview with a psychiatrist. And he just kept going back to the most stressful part of this injury is dealing with the system and the insurers. It's justifying what you need. And that can be too much on these guys. So I am one that I definitely understand that while they may be able to do it, sometimes you have to step up because they emotionally and mentally cannot do it. And they will miss things. Like these, this is the thing is like, yeah, we're stressed out. We're caregiving. We're doing all of that stuff, but our bodies aren't as traumatized as our partners are, especially mm-hmm. at the early stages of injury. Right. And it's so important because you miss things, right? You miss things when you're not all there. You miss things when you're emotionally impacted. And it's like, you almost like what you were saying earlier, you almost have to tag team a lot of this stuff together. But that you have to be of sound mind. You can't be in pain. You can't be overtired. And, you know, those are a lot of symptoms of SCI. So, I mean, this is one of the things that you have to take on because you don't want to miss out on the important things, right?
Right. And it's, I mean, anybody with a traumatic injury, I can't even imagine, to be honest. Like, I remember the first few days looking at Dan being like, how is he even like breathing on his own? You have so much to like regulate of from survival, like not just like, oh, this is so emotionally traumatic to me, survival mode. No, you're physically in survival mode. Your body, you're basically wanting to make sure that you can sleep, breathe, go to the bathroom in the first while. Like you're not thinking about when is my mortgage payment coming out? What insurance do I have to cover me for a chair or for medication? Do I have all the medications I need? How do I stabilize myself? So there's just so much with this. There's so much. Like I remember even with us the first couple weeks when you finally got into rehab, it was like having conversations about like you need to sell your home. And I mean, those are some pretty big life altering decisions. Those are huge decisions to say that it's time for me to pack up my house and leave. And like, you're not thinking, you're in panic. You're trying to make the best choices you possibly can with the bit of time that you have had for any kind of recovery. And I mean, we're speaking from the perspective of spouses and caregivers 8 and 10 years down the road. And these are things that are still very much relevant and part of our daily lives of decision-making. And you got to work as a team. I think that at the end of the day, that's the only thing I can say about that is if you don't have a team home base with your partner, then it can be very, very difficult, right? to make decisions.
Yes. And this, you know, if you're in a state where you're like, oh my God, this is too emotional, I personally can't handle this, that is a really good time to get an advocate involved. You know, we talk about Robin, you know, she sponsors the podcast, but she also is a huge support to our community. This is a good time to contact someone like Robin or get a resource that is closer to you through Robin because These are things like lawyers can stay relatively emotionally uninvolved. And that's so important because you don't want to miss a deadline. You don't want to miss a piece of paperwork. You don't want to in 2 years look back and be like, oh my God, I didn't fill out this form because it slipped my mind because I was too stressed out. So that's why it's really important. Not even just advocates that are legal advocates. Getting a family member who is not as emotionally involved is super important to have someone that you can trust. Be like, listen, you want to help? Can you please help me in this way? And outsourcing those tasks that it's like, maybe they can wait on the phone and talk. Like a lot of these things, I understand it has to be the representative or it has to be the injured person, but getting yourself listed as a representative and getting a family member that is able to talk to these people is hugely advantageous in the early stages, because then they can do some of the waiting. But again, getting a lawyer or a free advocate is really something that could save you a lot of time. So let's talk about, so there's also another post here about all the hours in the day. There's only so many hours in the day. Literally, I'm on the go from sun up to sundown and I do it all by myself. So when someone says, you need to do this, or I want to ask them, and when would I find the time for that? And when someone says that they will come help with something and it doesn't show, it's infuriating. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Helena, how many times have you had that happen when people are like, oh, you know, tell me how I can help. And then when it comes down to it, you need them and you ask them for help and they're just mysteriously unavailable.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very, very, very interesting when you finally do. First of all, you have to think about what is the capacity of this specific individual to help me? Are they capable of being able to help me in the ways that I need assistance and help and understanding? Are they able to comprehend what I'm saying to them? I know it sounds kind of condescending, but it's not. I'm from lived experience, that is one thing. It's being able to see if that person's able to regulate their own emotions around what your needs are, or are you going to be coddling them through the process? That's a very real conversation. Secondly, are they able to execute the things that they're saying that they're able to do? Thirdly, when your caregivers don't show up and you're the one that's having to restructure your entire day so you can help your partner. Yes, it is infuriating. It's very infuriating when you can't count on somebody. And the reality is everybody has their own lives. So I said to Dan yesterday, I'm at the point in my life where I just want to be disappointed in everybody all the time. So that when somebody actually follows through, it's like, oh my God, this is a breath of fresh air. You did what you said you were going to do. Thank you. Right. And other than that, I'm just going to really, the scale is moving lower and lower down the line of, I am just going to live in disappointment from now on. This is my oath to myself, is that I'm just going to pretend like nobody is capable of doing anything and I'll just keep doing it on my own. And then when you do follow through, it's a pleasant surprise. So,
yeah. It's just, yeah. And it also, well, and it also like kind of in a way, narrows down your scope of who's here for me and who's here for us and who isn't. And you'll realize very early on that there's a very, very small handful of people that are actually there for you versus the ones that pretend they're there for you. And they show it in action, right? And, you know, it, for me, it's kind of like a blessing because it's like I don't have the time or the energy, you know, like this wag was saying, there's only so many hours in the day. I personally don't have the hours and the energy to spend on people that I know would not be there for me when push comes to shove. And this injury does a really good job of showing that to you on a platter, mm-hmm. on a silver platter. And it's very hard. Obviously, we're humans, right? We're emotional beings. We want to think that our friends are our friends, but this is all for your benefit. These things happen for your benefit when you realize, you know, who are the ones that'll actually pull through. And a lot of the times you're surprised. A lot of the times it's the people that you didn't think would be that type of person. And also, I think it's important to mention, you know, I mean, we're 10 years into this injury and, you know, there's been a lot that's happened in those 10 years. A lot of it is a blur, but we've really, really narrowed down on who we can count on, who we can't count on, who's going to be there, and who's not going to be there, and work through all of the pain and the grief associated with realizing who is your true friends and family, who is your true support system. But that being said, there's a lot less baggage. There's a lot, like you always say, cutting season is here. There's a lot of people that have been cut, but for good reason. I mean, you don't need to waste your time with people that aren't really there to help you. And as sad as it can be, it's really something that can be viewed as very, very, very beneficial. A lot of less dead weight, which, you know, with this injury brings so much weight that you don't need to deal with other people that, you know, aren't really there for the right reasons, just to keep your social calendar going.
Cutting season is always upon us, especially when you're away. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. It's better. Just cut it off. Let it go. So you're not being dragged down and just keep living your life. I mean, it's a joke.
Well, and you know, yes. And I was going to say, for the women out there who are looking for some support as far as unapologetically cutting people and cutting and just really, really reinforcing boundaries, and just they don't have the capacity to have, you know, people that are wishy-washy in their lives anymore. The holistic psychologist, Dr. Nicole LaPera, she has a couple of books out right now, but her page is very, very full of resources for people who are wanting to have firm boundaries, especially with family, and how, you know, there's been so much taboo talk around cutting close friends and family, but it's like there is a way to do it so that you are protecting your own mental health and you're not causing more distress to yourself, because a lot of the times, you know, the people around you can cause a lot more stress. And it's really important to be honest and open about that, because it's a thing, right? And we've spoken about this in the past. It's a thing. It's a thing to have issues with your close family. And just because they're blood doesn't mean that they, you know, and I'm not encouraging you to ditch everyone in your family. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if you're looking for resources because you know something is straining you and it's not working out for you and you've given this person a lot of chances, just because they're family doesn't mean that they have to be in and around your everyday life, right? Doesn't mean that they can get away with behavior that doesn't help, right?
Or that they can just give you unsolicited advice at any turn, especially since they've never walked in your shoes or know anything about your life. That's my biggest thing, is that I'm kind of done with that kind of stuff. No, thank you. So we're going to move on to the next one. The amount of time involved in surviving each day. And that basically echoes the point that you're making. Focus on you. It's okay for your well-being, for your mental health. Say no, not right now. And politely, right? You don't have to be rude. It's nice just to be able to like exit quietly.
Yeah. And kind of playing off that, it's the next comment was that you are no longer just thinking about yourself anymore. That just because we manage through the day every day doesn't mean it's simple and as easy as it looks physically and emotionally. Whenever I talk to people or meet up with someone, they only see what it's like seeing my fiance dressed in his wheelchair, but they don't think about the behind the scenes. And then in brackets, she says, which I don't blame them. People literally just don't know. Like the bowel program, showering, brushing teeth, being a human, reminding them about their alarm clock, thinking about their meds, their next cath, etc. So whenever someone tells me to just plan for something, like to go to the gym, even though I'm exhausted, or schedule time for an event, a hangout, applying for a job, looking for a career path, like it's nothing. It just upsets me, because it's like, no, it's not that simple. That was a lot right there. And I think we can all kind of relate to some aspect of that. You are not only thinking of yourself anymore. And it's, you know, that's why we always talk about how people with kids, they would understand more, because they kind of have to cater to their children now. You know, I mean, the good parents, that's what they do, right? And, you know, while we're not parents to our partners, and while we don't have that dynamic, it's more of it's a relationship dynamic. You're not just thinking about yourself. You have to factor them into everything. And a good example of this is travel. You know, this is something that you and I are dealing with right now. We've been dealing with for the past year, is, you know, going on speaking engagements or going for simple travel engagements. It's not just about you anymore. There's so many fine details in the background that have to be dealt with. And it's just, it's not just you. It's all of the things that go with that. And so, you know, as much as we complain about not being spontaneous anymore, and, you know, I think that's a big thing on the group where we're all just like, oh, I wish we had some spontaneity. It really, it, in my eyes, it's not very possible anymore.
No, you have to be very organized.
Yes.
It's the days of that are over. It's time to invest in a really nice, cute planner and colorful markers and get creative with the capacity that you do have for living all of it, all of your life. I mean, I recently read some very interesting posts around, I think it was through holistic psychologists. I'm not sure. Anyways, the different reactions we have to situations, like how some people have the fight, the flight, the freeze, or the fawn effect, depending on your personality. And it was so interesting. I read one that stood out to me, and it was about the person who's that workaholic, who's very avoidant of the situation of what's happening. I feel like the majority of the advice that I get from the outside crowd of people who don't really know us or know the WAG life or my partner situation are like, well, why don't you just do your own thing? You need to go do your own thing, and he should just figure out his own care. And, you know, that's just the way it is. You need to go live your life. And it's like, yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks for letting me know what you would do in my situation. But again, it's not applicable. And we've seen it time and time again. It's not applicable to every single person because there are so many other factors involved, depending on personality type, depending on your situation at home, depending on your relationship with your partner, depending on what it is that you seek value in. Do you seek value in being a caregiver who's supporting your partner? The one thing that I've noticed over the past month of being paid as my partner's caregiver is the amount of stillness we have in our lives now. It's being able to do everything. And it's funny because I'm usually the girl that's like, girl, go do your own thing, have your own life, go out with your friends, you know, go for girl weekends, and you can still do that. But the stillness and then realizing how much control you have over your own care. And I said to John this morning, as I'm planning to leave on Wednesday night for a few days, I said, you know, it's realizing how organized you can be to get everything done before you leave when it's you're dependent on yourself. When I know my capacity, what I'm capable of before I leave, how I'm going to set everything up before I leave. You know, like last night, Sunday night, I'm washing all the bedding, Monday doing meal prep, Tuesday, cleaning the house, organizing everything, making sure everything is where my partner can reach. And then I noticed that my flight didn't actually leave until Wednesday evening. So then I had this peace of mind of knowing that I could still do Dan's bowel program on Wednesday morning. And I mean, these are real things that you think about of how do I set everything up? And it shows exactly how much you do in your household, but also not having a random caregiver coming in to our house at 7 o'clock in the morning. You get the knock on the door, knock, 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 and hello, home support. And they yell like this because they're used to dealing with seniors. So they talk in a tone that's extremely loud at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you actually can't get anybody earlier than 7 o'clock in the morning. So when you have an engagement that you need to show up to early, or you have even a Zoom meeting, you can't get anybody to your house to get you up at 6 a.m. So since we've switched to me being Dan's paid caregiver, we can get up at 6 a.m. We can get up at a different time than just starting our day at 7. And then you're not done your bowel routine and showering, getting dressed until what, 9:30, 10? So then you're not even starting your day till 10. Who can go to a job? Who can start a job at 10 o'clock in the morning? Not a lot of people. Not when you're working a 9 to 5. So again, it's restructuring the routine within your house, within your personal boundaries and your space. Typically, a caregiver, that's how they would show up. Then, depending on who showed up, they're afraid of the dog. Now you have to lock up the dog somewhere or wrangle him into another room, putting barricades of wheelchairs and furniture down the hallway so the dog can't jump over it to get into the bedroom where the caregiver and your partner are. And then a lot of the time they'll get your partner in their commode and then into over the toilet or into the shower. But then they're wrestling around in the dryer for socks that are mismatched and trying to find his underwear. But they're also going through your stuff too, because that's just the way it is. So there's a lot of intrusion with having caregivers, and that is only when they show up. There are days that they don't show up and you don't get a phone call saying so-and-so is sick. And then you wait around and then you think, well, I may as well just do this myself. I may as well just start doing this routine myself. And then they show up halfway through, but they're still getting paid. You are not. So these are just some examples of what it looks like to be the spousal caregiver, to take on these tasks, because it actually provides a lot of peace to your routine. And I am the first person to say that this is not something that I ever thought I would advocate for. Yes, of course, I believe that spouses should be paid caregivers, but I always said, I don't really want to be a caregiver. It's not really for me. Until we've been trying it ourselves for the last, what, just over a month. And we're like, you know what? The stuff that we need help with is not Dan's routine. It's not getting him out of bed and getting him dressed and doing the bell program. That's not the stuff that we need help with. It'd be nice to have somebody come over and like clean the house, take out the recycling, maybe help him organize his drawers, maybe help him do things that he wants to do that I don't need to help him with, like transfer him onto the standing frame or help him get into, you know, on the bed to do some stretches or doing other things. So it's been a really interesting learning experience so far. But again, it's provided us a lot of peace. And to be honest, we're getting along better because we're not in consistent chaos from the moment my feet hit the floor.
That's really cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That I've definitely felt that. Like, and I feel like everyone has to try these things for themselves. But for us personally, and I've talked about this in the past, like I've always been an advocate for balance, finding balance, but also realizing what you can do and how it's when you like to be a caregiver or you like to have that freedom. It's for me, it's not necessarily that I like enjoy doing his care because that's not what it is, but I really enjoy the freedom that it gives us. And, you know, as someone who had four or five different caregivers at the start of my partner's injury, I can honestly say that it has been a huge relief to be his caregiver over all these years. And like you, you know, I definitely would advocate for paid spousal caregiving because it's still a job, but the amount of freedom that you can create for yourself is definitely something that a lot of women don't think are possible until they actually try it for themselves and they have that support to be able to try it for themselves. So anyone out there who has any questions about the programs that are available so that you can have that freedom and, you know, which states, which countries actually pay their caregivers to stay at home and be a caregiver, please email us or visit our website or message us on Instagram. We would love to help. So let's do one more comment before we move on. So there's another one here about usable hours. Yes, everyone has 24, but everyone can use all of them, but not everyone can use all of them, which is kind of back to what we were talking about before, about how there's only so many hours in the day. My biggest thing about that is you can get really overwhelmed if you think about time in that way. And if you don't focus more on, okay, what can I do right now? What's in front of me? It creates a lot of chaos in your life if you focus on what needs to be done in the future. And I feel like this life, you definitely don't need more chaos than you already have. So limiting that and be like, okay, what can I actually do today? You know, and I know we've talked about this on the podcast so many times, but I'm just, you know, I'm in my little desk right now and I'm looking at the medical supplies that we have in the corner and it's been bugging me and I need to unbox them. But for whatever reason, I haven't gotten to it yet and that's okay. And just like being okay with the fact that there are things that you cannot do in a day and stressing yourself out more about all the things you have to do in the day is not going to do anything but make you overwhelmed and sick. And so we got to be easier on ourselves as women who are literally responsible for everything. We can't think about that as often as we want to because it'll just create chaos. So then there's another comment here, the need for kindness and flexibility when things go sideways, things can go downhill quickly. then there's a couple of comments here that are, I'm going to read them because they're interesting and you can take what you want from them. But the first one is, my schedule isn't up to me. And then the second one is, I still want to be invited. So I thought those were really good. The first one, obviously, my schedule isn't up to me. It's true. And that resistance that comes as a caregiver when you're battling that, I think it's better to just accept it right off the bat that your schedule is going to be all over the place at times, and you're not going to be able to maintain a specific consistency based on what you want to do. But however, there's a lot of ways that you can flip this on its head and actually really succeed and get more you time during. So for instance, if you're a stay-at-home caregiver, or if you're a caregiver that has to balance multiple things and has to drive your partner here and there, and there's a lot of chance for alone time. There's a lot of chance for doing a quick stretching or exercise routine while you're waiting. And there's a lot of time you just need to just say, okay, my schedule is not my own. That's true. I have to kind of cater what I need to get done around his schedule. But that also provides a lot of room for more organization on your end and more relaxation time on your end, and scheduling more relaxation time in the hours that you are kind of going off his schedule. So there's a lot of opportunity there. While it seems overwhelming at first, you can really learn to balance yourself according to being around his schedule, just like having a child that goes to soccer, just like having, you know, other things that you have to do. It's the same kind of thing. You figure out ways to balance them. But I really think that if everybody knew that, friends and family, that the schedule isn't really up to you, and if you had it your way, you would be on time and you would say yes to everything. But when you have someone with an SCI in your life, and you are a caregiver or not a caregiver, you just have someone, with an SCI, things happen almost every day that is outside of our control. And I think that if people understood that, it would be a better world for everybody. So let's move on to, let's do this as our last comment before next week will be part three, because there are so many comments and we just feel like we need to address a lot of them because a lot of them are so good. The last one I'm going to say is, just because I hold it together in front of everyone doesn't mean that I'm not struggling to adjust to this life. That when I do cry, it's not because of me and how I feel, but it's because I wish I could take away the pain and confusion and sadness that not only does my husband feel, but our kids too. That although things may seem easy, they always aren't. I've seen his own mom walk away from him during all of this, and I've been here since day one.
Yeah. That's all I have to say is, yeah. Honestly, powerful. Yes. It is powerful, and it's very true. And actually, the very last comment I would like to read is, the need for kindness and flexibility. When things go sideways, things can go downhill quickly. And that is very true in the world we're living in today, the need for kindness in general. So whatever you thought about today's episode, if you want to chime in, send your messages to us at wagsofsei@gmail.com. We have the Wags of SEI 5KM self-care run coming up on March 24th. Please, if you have not already done so, register, donate, share, like, whatever. Just share it. We really need your guys' help and support to create more resources to support the couples in our communities, but mostly to send out more materials and brochures to those very first moments that a WAG of SCI, potential WAG of SCI, is sitting in the waiting room as her partner just sustained an injury. We need to make sure our materials are there for support and for connection right off the bat. So please help us by sharing the link in our bio. We send out another emails just stating that we are just 2 weeks away from the final run. So please help us by sharing that link. And like always, until next time, please, please take care of yourselves and love one another.
Cheers.